from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The sky's the limit, right?
Just really excited to get everything going and get the season started.
It's training camp time.
Yeah, baby!
As the morning shift gives you all the action live from Flowery Branch.
Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app for our 2024 Falcons training camp coverage. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Move it that inspires. Miller Lite, tastes like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is the morning shift. We are live from Flowery Branch, Atlanta Falcons training camp. I am Bo Morgan, a.k.a. Squib Billy, joined by the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson, and Fox 5's Kelly Price.
Not an All-American.
Yeah, breaking news.
No. Well, we can only have one on this show, apparently.
Kelly, just real quick, can you grade his good morning on a scale from 1 to 10? I just...
Well, that one was
I'm
weak.
I'm having a hard
not
time hearing you because I think my eardrums are recovering still.
But... I'm going to give that one a 4 out of 10. But that isn't – it's not a volume thing, just so we're clear. It's not
yes.
a volume
yeah,
thing.
Go
it's more
as long
of an emotion.
I normally with a good one.
Yeah, I don't need you to yell any louder. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that more of an emotion and an excitement to be here as far as – I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10. So
okay, well,
just listen, it's nothing personal.
I wish
saying,
I,
4 out of 10.
I wish I cared about your opinion more.
Okay. Right.
Ouch.
Because you don't care about anybody's opinion. That's why you wear aviators and Gucci bags to the airplane. That's another topic.
No, I do that.
The Louis bag. I'm sorry. Is it Louis or Gucci that you wear?
It's Louis. Yeah. It's Louis, baby. Jesus. And guess what? I do that Jesus. Because I got style.
Yeah,
all
is
right?
that what it is? Right.
Yeah. Black Kelly, on black on black.
Kelly, we had you last Friday. Did you miss us?
Of course.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Of course. I had to come back. I had to drive 45 minutes north to Flowery Branch to do it this time.
I appreciate you faking it till you make it. Nonetheless, we're live out here in Flowery Branch for the morning shift, like Bo said. Just hanging out, and we will be your eyes and ears throughout training camp here at 92.9. You heard a lot of different sound. We'll have a lot of different sound coming up today. In the next segment, you will hear Raheem Morris. He was on with Andy and Randy. Bo and I also caught up with Jake Matthews yesterday after practice, one of my old teammates, the only guy left on the roster that I actually played with, and he's entering camp year number 11, so fun to catch up with him. And look, just a fun day out here yesterday. It wasn't too hot, even though they moved practice back just a little bit. It was a little bit misty, a little bit rainy, but I don't want to say they got a lot of solid work in yesterday, but just y'all's initial impression, because the tempo was very – it was a jog-through, right? It wasn't a walk-through. It was a jog-through. I think Jake said as much, but – the ball didn't come out of anybody's hand, really. It was just kind of a, hey, let's make sure we're all going to the right place.
Right. I mean, these guys are wearing shorts, no pads. They've got the what do you call those things? The guardian caps on top of the helmets. So not a lot of crazy work going on right now.
Yeah, the guardian caps. Those are interesting ones. And then there was one player just decided not to wear it. I'm not going to put their name out there. But I was like, I thought they were.
I noticed that
one
as well.
Guy.
Yeah.
And it was on brand.
Very
a
much.
A little bit of a meathead.
Very much so. I really thought it was interesting that Cousins had the camera, and he wasn't throwing the ball. They would do dump offs, but it was he was go through his progressions right, and then come over and do the dump off. But you could still see some things out there, right? You kind of saw some guys at certain positions that maybe made you go, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Or how certain players look. Like the talk that I remember, and Kelly, I'm sure you heard this as well, you know, because we were all kind of bouncing around talking to different people, was, wow, Kyle Pitts looks like Kyle Pitts, more like the 2020-2019 version from Florida, more like the 2021 version that was here on this roster. He looked like he felt confident, and he had a good little burst that was just, I don't want to say old school because it's his fourth year in the league, but it was old school Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, well, I want to talk just a second. We're going to get to the Kirk Cousins audio, and I know everybody that's listening probably has a little bit of an overload as far as the Falcons coverage day one, because you try to take it. It's like a sponge on day one, right? You're like, oh, man, I got to read all these reviews, and nobody's allowed out of practice, so everybody's putting as much information out as they can. But the way practice was kind of structured was interesting to me yesterday. They split fields. It seemed like you had – I don't want to call them starters and second team, because I'm not ready to give any of those guys that label, but you had really the players that you expect to be in the rotation early throughout preseason, and then you had more of the developmental players on the far field. So the media is sitting next to what we'll just call the Kirk Cousins group, you know, to start off with, and Taylor Heineke's with him, and then you look over one field over from the media, and it's Michael Penix, and it's some of the other rookies, practice squad guys from last year, more of that look. So it was very interesting to see who took the field with these first two groups, and we'll get into that throughout the show. But who took the field with these first groups? Who looked excited? Who, you know, who was the guy breaking down the huddle on the way out to the field and things like that? But there were some interesting names and interesting places that me and Bo kind of took notice of.
Yeah, first off, for me, is the fact that I saw Mike Hughes on that outside corner spot. That was a little bit interesting to me because I honestly thought that it would be maybe Clark Phillips over there and Mike Hughes would be in that nickel where he really excelled, obviously, clearly late in the last season. But Hughes was over there, and then they had Dee Alford in that nickel spot, right, which, you know, talking with Arch, and Arch had a really good point. He goes, he's earned it. He's done, came up, played, did everything he's been asked to do. We also looked at the outside linebacker spots, Mike. And there's a guy that you and I decided to do some research on mid-practice.
We had to.
Well, and it's not, you know, you and I had talked about it when they signed him. But that's kind of it, right? But James Smith Williams was playing that outside backer spot where you kind of think Arnold Ebiketie would be the first guy out there.
Right.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of people after the draft, you kind of look at it and go, well, you know, maybe their expectations are of Arnold Ebiketie taking a larger role, rushing the passer, doing different things. Maybe they like what they saw in film. But, Kelly, I'll be honest, I expected him to be out there, and obviously it's first down situation, but if you had listed four other guys being out there, and Braylon Trice was with the Kirk Cousins group, but he listed four other guys, I would not have picked James Smith Williams to be one of those guys.
No, I mean, I definitely didn't have that on my bingo card.
I don't think anybody
Braylon
did.
Trice is a guy I was actually really interested to see yesterday as well. And I know you mentioned Mike Hughes. That's actually what my story was yesterday from camp, was about Mike Hughes. I talked to him about his approach kind of going into this training camp. And he was like, you know, it's a really friendly competition, maybe even more than normal, because we're all really close. Because that group, that DB room, really brings back a lot of guys from last year. Mm-hmm. So they all know each other really well, even though there is that kind of other corner up for grab spot aside AJ Terrell.
Listen, we'll talk about the rotation throughout practice. There's another couple guys that jumped out at me. Kevin King was at an interesting spot. You started seeing some of the rotation pieces up front. TQ Graham taking a larger role than I kind of expected. Zach Harrison a little bit back in the weeds in terms of kind of the rotation I expected to see. I do want to get to Raheem Morris, though. He talked a little bit yesterday in his press conference. And look, he was asked point blank, what's the plan for Kirk Cousins going into preseason? How much do you expect him to play? And his answer was pretty interesting.
You know, we're in block one right now. You know, so it's like, hey, block one, I speak in these blocks, right? We're talking about today, right? Being our acclimation day two, being a jog through period, getting right into two practices to another jog through, then we get to block two. And then once we get to block two, we'll have a low practice, medium practice, jog through, high impact practice, day off. So, like, I want to get to block one first to make some of those decisions. You know, don't want to make something from 3 weeks from now that we don't have to make now. So we'll see and what we need and how we need it. Now, really excited for the most part about getting to our joint practice with Miami. You know, that you look forward to some of those things and how you're going to get into it as opposed to thinking about some of the preseason stuff.
Yeah. Well, you get done with that, and we'll go ahead and go to this next piece because everybody in the same breath is like, oh, hey, maybe you'll see Kirk Cousins play in the preseason. Don't want to make any decisions right now. We talked yesterday about a little bit of hitch in the giddy up, but maybe he'll start to feel good. Well, when Kirk Cousins steps to the podium, he had a little bit of different things to say.
I want to play, but I think that ask – fell on deaf ears. I think, you know, Raheem's model is you're not playing. Like, that's just not – and I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his approach was like, that's just not how we want to do things. I'm sure maybe I could persuade him. Maybe there's a conversation. Who knows how the Dolphins practices go. Maybe he wants to see us in the game. It's just so much that can change. But, yeah, I think seeing live bullets and playing is helpful, but I also understand the logic behind not doing it. And you know, everything we do is calculated, and that will be as well.
Kelly, you can almost hear a collective, yes, Kirk, you did. You did actually let the cat out of the bag right there.
I know that. I literally, like, laughed. I remember looking at the other people in the press conference room, like, you did just let the cat out of the bag, literally.
And I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag or anything, but his...
It reminds me of, like, that rope of truth that Wonder Woman has, that when she puts it on your, like, your arm and you just completely tell the truth. Apparently that's the podium over in the media room at Flowery Branch for Kirk Cousins, because every time he gets up there, he says something that he probably isn't supposed to say. Now, luckily this time it probably won't lead to an investigation that costs the Falcons money and a fifth-round draft pick. But once again, Kirk Cousins has went – overstepped verbally. I actually love the freaking honesty, because
it's a breath of fresh air. It really is.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
I mean, he's probably the only person, you know, he's the only person that can walk away from that podium and say, I told the truth. the complete truth. I mean, he's, you know, I said the one thing, yeah, he's Jim Carrey from Liar Liar. I can't lie, because that's what he's, but I you know, maybe Raheem is wanting to see, and he just told Kirk, you know what, I don't want you to have expectations, so probably not going to happen. And then he might get down the road and say, well, I like the way he looked in the joint scrimmage against Miami. I want him to take, you know, a series in week two against Baltimore or something. But I don't know. I want to say that I care that if he plays in the preseason, because we get to finally see him test that Achilles and it's finally out there. But in reality, do we need to see him?
Right. And look, I think this was a big topic last year with Desmond Ridder, and I think it mattered a lot more because Desmond Ridder had only seen a few meaningful snaps. Kirk Cousins has been in the league, you know, now 14 years. Kelly, I don't know that it really matters if we see him in the preseason.
Yeah, and that was going to be my point, is this was a much more important conversation this time last year, I think. And it was approached a little bit differently. But it sounds like Kirk and Raheem actually had this conversation. They talked about it. And he said, hey, I want to play. And Raheem was like, I don't know about that. So maybe if Kirk feels like he needs to get those live reps, maybe he'll let him.
Yeah, I totally agree. We talked about observations. You know, the one thing that I really enjoyed seeing yesterday was the head coach standing back, watching, talking to players, talking to the coaches, and not having to do everything, right? When Arthur was here, he was running the offense. He was doing everything.
That's a good point.
When DQ was here for a certain point, he was doing the same thing. Rob was just able to take it in, watch, and then do that administrative of as a whole job. I paid attention to that for a few minutes yesterday, and it was kind of refreshing, too. So it was a refreshing day at Flowery Branch in the overcast humidity.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll continue to be a refreshing morning shift. Hey, look, when we get back from the break, Coach Raheem Morris joined Midday Show with Andy and Randy yesterday. He was asked about distributing reps in the preseason. I think you're going to like his answer. You don't want to miss it. Coming up on the other side, it's the morning shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every day is a blessing. You get to be able to play in the NFL is a privilege.
back to the morning shift.
Live from Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live from Flowery Branch. Squid Billy Bo Morgan. Kelly Price hanging out. Look, I want to get to this Raheem Morris with Andy and Randy in just a second because I really did think it was entertaining. By the way, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Real quick, Bo, before we get to it. Energy yesterday, I thought you brought up a good point a minute ago. Actually being able to oversee the practice, right? And that's something that, honestly, until you just brought it up, I hadn't even thought about. But definitely different than it was a year ago.
Yeah, and there was one point, and I think it was you or Arch, one I was standing next to, and I said, what's going on here? Because Raheem's is standing there, and he's watching, and Kirk, they're running a play, and Kirk comes over, takes his helmet off, and he starts conversing with Ra, and it's clear that he's asking him about something that they were doing or whatever, and they have I don't want to say brief, but it was maybe a minute or two conversation about it, and then practice resumes, right? It was just cool to see him coaching in a just an overall thing instead of basically I'm not saying this happened last year, but it just felt like last year and in years past, not just the Arthur Smith administration, other years as well, where there's so much going on for the head guy that he couldn't just kind of take that moment. And look, that could be me being untrained.
I don't think so. No, I think it's a good point.
It was nice to see.
I think it goes back to his experience on both sides of the ball, coaching at this level. He knows what he's looking at on both sides of the ball. And you go back to his, I think, introductory press conference or something back then when he talked about, I want to be the head coach of this entire team, not just the defense, not just the offense. So you saw that yesterday.
Yeah. Well, he did join Andy and Randy yesterday, and they asked him off the top how he goes about distributing practice reps and playing time during the preseason.
So what you do is when we do it with our low days, those would be the days that our one, so to speak, gets a quarter.
Okay.
Right? When you count the reps, you count those ones reps and what they're able to get. And then when you get the medium day, your ones may get a quarter and a half. They may get maybe even then two quarters if you can get it right with the situational ball. And then when you get the high day, you try to get as close to a game by 70% as you can get. And those practices against other teams, you really want those things to get ramped up like game-like situations. And then once you get to the preseason, now that determines whether you're going to play, who you're going to play, what you're going to play, how you're going to play. That's the biggest difference. I don't think we had those thoughts processed when we were younger.
When are we going to play?
When we came back in, it was full bore, and you had this emotional roller coaster that you were riding from an athletic standpoint that we just want to stay away from, the peaks and the valleys and how to get guys to mitigate injury. And I think that's some of the best things that we've done when it comes to some of the studying and listening to doctors and performance teams.
What's the plan for Kirk Cousins from today until, obviously, Pittsburgh is week one, but between now and then and everything that he's going to need to do to get ready, what's the plan?
So the most important part for Kirk is, like you just mentioned, Pittsburgh week one. And what he's doing right now is simply just about everything, right? The things you want to hold him back is the preparation and the readiness, right? So when we talk about individual drill, you'll see some individual drill by himself and doing the things that he needs to do specifically for him, right? So you may see separate individual drills. And then once you start routes on air, you can get those guys all together and doing those things. But you want to have the ability for to get all his team reps. And that's the plan for him right now, getting him ready for those things. And once we get into it, we can make some decisions even further moving forward where we need to go from there. But you don't want him to have setbacks. You don't want him to have those things. So, like, in order to get a nice, smooth flow for him to get going, is that's what we want him to happen.
Do you worry about that as far as especially team practice, people around his legs and things like that? Because I know he was in there OTAs with some team things, but, mm-hmm. You know, and when his pads, people falling and all those different things, do you worry about that part when he's first in pads and you guys are going team?
I think you worry about that just in general with any quarterback. I don't worry about it any more than I would because of the injury.
Right.
I think the injury is what it is. I think the Achilles is in good health. I think all of those things are happening the right way. When you're talking about him being in those pockets in those small areas, it's really – about all our quarterbacks, right? It's the knee issues, the falling into the Tom Brady rule, right?
Right.
That's what you worry about in those situations, the mistaken slinging into your quarterback, all the stuff that's illegal within a game. That's what you worry about the most. But I think that's a normal worry. I don't think that's anything because of the injury.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the midday show with Andy and Randy as day one practice has wrapped up. What about the other two quarterbacks? Is there a competition for the second spot?
There's three quarterbacks, man. Don't disrespect my guy, Paddock.
Sorry about that.
But we have, obviously.
Sorry, Paddock.
We obviously have Mike, and it's really good to get those two guys in different situations, right? We can have those guys where one of them working with Kurt, and then sometimes we do split fields where they get a chance to separate and work in the other field. I think Taylor and both of those guys have done a great job for us. And, you know, obviously there's a competition in everything we do with everybody, but when those guys get a chance to go out and play, they're competing in their own rights. But it's like a healthy, competitive environment that we're creating here where there's like all of our guys. I watch Heinicke help Penix. I watch Penix help Paddock. I watch Paddock help Penix. I watch all those guys kind of evolve into a group, Kurt helping everybody, and those guys being able to deliver good information to all of them. So it has been a lot of fun just to watch those guys grow. I think Penix is really embracing his role as this mentee to the guys that are mentoring him, right? Taylor's played a lot of football, and he respects that. And, you know, Kurt's played a gang of football, and he definitely respects that and had a lot of the results that you would want to have in a National Football League, particularly on the amount of money he's been able to make, and the amount of plays he's been able to make, and the amount of success he's been able to have. Like, how could you not look at that in front of you and really be excited? Yeah.
What about some of your older players, mainly Grady, coming back from everything, and he seems like he's one of those guys where you got to be like, hey, tone it down. What's going to be your process with him this year, coming off the injury, knowing the fact that, you know, he plays one of those most demanding positions in football?
I had a little experience with the Grady-like being out in L.A., and it wasn't necessarily coming off the injury. It's just that when you get to a certain age in this National Football League and you play that vital in a position like those D tackle spots, you better limit those guys on your own, and you gotta have to kind of get to them early to let them know when you're gonna do it, how you want to do it. And then, like with a guy like Grady, you know, we want to get him his reps, we want to get him his practice, but you don't want to you want to limit the amount of times he goes back to back days with just high ramp up periods, right? So if we can limit those things, we can communicate that to him early, it'll limit some of the fights of him wanting to go out there and practice every snap, which you know he does.
Right.
How has your I guess just kind of thought process about what you have here roster-wise evolved from when you got the job to today? I mean, obviously working with your coaching staff and looking at film and getting ready for today being the first day of practice. I feel like you know more about this team now than you did when you took over.
You know, it's really funny because, like, it was really clear on the vision that the Falcons had, because Terry Fontenot, Kyle Smith, Ryan Pace, the guys that are in place that put this roster together, you know, obviously along with Art Smith and some of the guys that were here before, but these guys were in place, and you knew exactly what they can do when you're talking about a Bijan Robinson, a Drake London, the Kyle Pitts, and just the people that they were putting in those spots, right? You know, even to Taylor Allgeier, and then what the O-line has become, right? So you got a real good feel about those guys even coming in. So it's hard to say you know more, just what you were able to add to that group and things that you're able to do. The Moonies of the world, the Ray McClouds, the Rondell Moores, some of those guys being able to add to that group and give you something else, like Chris Blair, and actually provide you with those role clarity to get the things going the way you want to get it going, right? So the thing I can tell you is I don't know more about the player yet. Obviously, we haven't done anything full speed, but you do know about what roles that you vision for these guys, and you know what roles you can tell those guys you think they should take right now. That doesn't mean it's going to stay the same. Their roles can change based on play. Their roles can increase based on play. Their roles can get better based on play. And those things always change throughout a season, no matter what. And you better have people in those backup roles that know those roles, so when somebody goes down, you don't have a drop-off or a major drop-off. Or you can supplement it with different people. Whether you supplement those positions, you got a way you want to figure those things out.
Right. I think that I say this all the time. I mean, you always want competition. But you don't necessarily, in the NFL, you want your starters – you want them setting all those different things. Is there a position battle out there that you can, not necessarily on the top of your head, but that is out there that, you know what, this might can go with either guy right now?
You know, I don't know if position battle.
Right.
I feel like we're star searching right now. You know, who's going to be the lead dog guy, right? Is it Bijan? You know, is it Drake? Is it Mooney? Is it Pitts? Like, who's going to be the guy? And could it be a different person each week? Right? Is it a pick-your-poison type of deal? Are you fortunate enough to be in that San Fran type of mode where you got guys that can go out there and make plays and beat you all over the field? Or is it a guy that's going to emerge and absolutely jump off the tape and be undeniable, right? It's like, it's fun to go watch, particularly on offense when you're talking about that. And it's the same thing on defense, right? You got some real position battles or, like, who's going to jump off the tape? We're talking about up front. Who's going to be the pass rushers? Everybody's worried about that.
Yeah.
But, like, you got some young guys. You got Smith out there. You got Trice out there. You got all these guys off the edge. Zach. You got TQ. You got some people that you really forgot about. You know, second round, third round picks from the previous years, and some of the guys that we brought in this year, the 3D linemen. It's like those are the times when people really emerge and they come out of nowhere.
Obviously, an incredible interview. A couple things, guys, stuck out to me. He's talking about star searching. Who's going to be undeniable? Now, we've all kind of gone back and forth. And look, I don't think it's any secret. You look at defense, you look at Jesse Bates. When you look at offense, you look at Kirk Cousins. But there's always those kind of secondary captains, the Calais Campbells like you had last year, some of the, you know, the Cordarrelle Patterson offensively they had last year. Those are a couple of spots that they kind of have to replace guys and kind of find out who that next veteran presence is going to be.
Yeah, I think each in the defensive-wise, I think each level will have a captain, right? Like their own room. And I think Grady Jarrett's that up front. I think that every veteran that they've brought in here has acknowledged on defense that this is Grady Jarrett's defense. This is especially defensive line. It's his room. But we talk about veterans at each level, but then you look at it, and Rod talked about how young they are in defense in certain areas. And you and I were talking with Dave Archer yesterday, Mike, just about the versatility that they might have in that front seven that we haven't seen. I don't know when the versatility, last time we saw that kind of versatility. Now, it has to pan out. And, excuse me, Kelly, you talked about, you know, what, looking at Braylon Trice yesterday and noticing things about him. I thought Braylon Trice, and Mike and I both, I thought he was taller.
I said longer. But, I was like, I thought he'd be a little more long.
But he is, boy, he is thick.
He's like a little tree stump.
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. I wouldn't want to try to run through that guy.
But is it, Kelly, is it as simple as saying this is Grady Jarrett's defense? And I think it is. But he hasn't been in full go with a lot of these players that have been signed, right? And he had the ACL last year, and he's obviously coming back off that. And he gets released, and he's practicing full go. But there are other guys like Caden Ellis that will be a huge part of this team.
Absolutely. Well, Grady has been here this whole time, right? Like, he's been rehabbing here. A lot of these guys that maybe came in later last year know him, are familiar with him, and he's obviously such a big force on and off the field. But, I mean, you even look at guys like A.J. Terrell. I know yesterday he was talking about how he's kind of taking some of these younger DBs under his wing, even though it's his fifth year in the league. He's not exactly a grizzled veteran compared to some of these other guys. But I think there's a lot of guys on both sides of the ball who are really taking on that leadership and making sure that it helps the entire team.
Yeah, and look, just seeing A.J. Terrell walk over and talk to the media yesterday, Bo made a good point. He's like, that guy has gotten so comfortable has gotten so much better. You can just tell that he loves kind of his role in this team. Now, look, you mentioned he's still a little bit young in the tooth, probably looking for that bag, you know, sooner rather than later, and hopefully he gets it. But that's a guy who obviously is a veteran presence.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something we actually talked to him about yesterday, that contract kind of situation. In a year, we've seen so many hold-ins, hold-outs so far across the NFL.
That's a great point.
He's here. He's with this team, and he was like, I want to focus on getting this team better. I want to focus on football. I pay an agent to take care of all that stuff for me.
That's a great
point. Yeah, it is. We forget he's a hometown guy.
Yeah.
He's a hometown dude, but he has. I think my takeaway of A.J. Terrell 3 years ago and the reality of A.J. Terrell as just a dude is different. Even his rookie year, I was like, man, that guy's so quiet. I had an interaction with him, I think, going into year two. And he came up to our studios, and him and I talked off the air. And I was like, wow, you're not a quiet, laid-back dude, are you? And every single time I'm around him, it's more apparent that, dude, he is. I'm not saying he's anything bad, but he's fun. He's energetic. He's outgoing. Like, he is not the guy that I thought he was. And the reality situation on the field, he's all business.
Dave Archer kind of making fun of him yesterday, asking if Clemson's coming to the Big 12.
Yeah.
He absolutely loved that.
And he said, step down.
We got to head to break. When we come back, has Brian Snicker finally had enough? He had a lot of things to say in his postgame presser. And also, we're going to talk about the vibe around training camp, why it's different, and what that means for this team. Stick with the Morning Shift. We're live from Flowery Branch, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Every team, every year, in this time of the year, you know, you're very excited, you're very optimistic about the season.
Now, back live to Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp.
With the Morning Shift.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That, I don't know what that was, quite honestly. You're going to have to ask them. I didn't have anything on, and we normally don't bunt in that situation, but I was trying to score a run. And, you know, we had two pretty good hitters coming up, I thought, and that's unacceptable.
We had two pretty good hitters coming up, I thought. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Snickers had it. He's done.
Oh.
He's done. Look. Awful, awful, awful loss last night. You can't waste. Chris Sale starts. Pierce Johnson, God bless you. I mean, you want to talk about just a loss that was not on you, buddy. The Braves just, oh, man, that was a gut-wrenching performance last night.
Well, where do you want me to start?
We're laughing to keep from crying, I
know.
I think, here.
And hopefully they are in the locker room, too. But golly.
You know, Snicker, I usually laugh at because he's like, you know, grunting, or he goes, yeah, you know, you got to hit it hard. You know, it's sometimes when it's hard, you want to hit it. I mean, I don't know. Like,
bounce our way.
He just says goofy stuff, like, right? And he doesn't mean to. He's so nonchalant and gee golly. When he was like, I don't know what they were doing. You got to ask them. That is basically our players blanked all of that up as you'll ever get, and they went off script as you'll ever get from a Brian Snitker.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, when the players hear that, they are going to receive that message. Now, you could also send another message. Everyone knows I am not fire the coach. I am not cut the player. But if I was a GM today of the Atlanta Braves, I would be on the phone or in the office of the
your
manager.
Your finger would be on the button.
And I would say, Laureano is out of here. He's gone. We have to send a message. You know, and I'm not that kind of guy. I don't like calling people's jobs. It's not I just don't think it's something that a lot of guys in our job should do. However, you can talk about everything else and no one play loses a game. He cost you the game twice.
Yeah, twice. And look, I'm with you. I don't like calling for jobs. I don't believe they will do that. But, Kelly, you watched the tape with me this morning and watched that final play. Me and you were both like, oh, my God.
Well, there's been a couple moments in the last couple games that you just had to see to believe.
Seriously.
Like the run the other day that scored. You were like, what? That really happened? Especially for a team that has been, you know, the last couple of years, so solid defensively, obviously offensively. I mean, just all of the areas, they've checked all these boxes, and then it just seems like they've gotten so careless lately. And I don't know what needs to happen to shake up. Like, to your point, Bo, do you need to send a message cutting someone? What do you do to get this team figuring out what they need to do?
Yeah. The vibe is not good in the Atlanta Braves locker room. We are live from Flowery Branch. It is Mike and Bo and Kelly hanging out with you. But Kelly, you were talking about it earlier. The vibe in Flowery Branch right now for the Falcons is pretty good.
Yes, the vibes here are very different than the ones in Cobb County or New York, I guess, right now for the Braves. You know, something that stuck with me yesterday talking to players on the first day of training camp, talking to Bijan Robinson, he said something that maybe I'm reading between the lines a little bit. He said, we're actually having fun right now. And we were talking about positivity and how from the top down with this new coaching staff and the new leaders on this team that it's really brought this new energy. I've heard every single player I've talked to use the word energy so far in this training camp. And I know Raheem Morris was asked yesterday, what's the mantra of training camp? And for Falcons fans who may be scarred by brotherhood and many sayings from the DQ era, Raheem said, I don't want to make some statement or some cliche. It needs to be built from within. The players need to come up with that, and it's going to be determined throughout training camp. And you see that with this player-led leadership. Kirk, Jesse, Grady, guys we were kind of talking about earlier, those guys are kind of taking the charge with this team, and that's, too, like we were talking about with Raheem, that's what he wants to see with this team.
It's really funny that Raheem said that the way he said it, because he clearly understood where there was fallout in the previous administration that he was a part of here. As in,
that's a great point. You know, he's been here and seen it.
Yeah.
He's seen it happen.
And brotherhood.
I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, this is what? Why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing at brotherhood comment. Yeah.
I was jealous of those brotherhood jackets in 2016. We're getting
slick,
off the team
man.
Plane.
I'm all about it.
Sounds like the PTSD for Falcons fans.
Where's my brotherhood vest
right.
at?
You know, the ethos.
Oh yeah, don't get me started.
Yeah, now we got ethos, right?
But The funny thing is that he it's a guy that has learned everywhere he's been, and if you listen to the words he's telling you, I've learned from it, in these little statements. The other thing, and when you mentioned Bijan Robinson, Bijan apparently had a lot to say yesterday because he also made a statement about talking with Zach Robinson and, like, you know, his usage. And he was like, yeah, me and Zach have sat down. We've looked over and designed some plays together. And he made this statement, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if this is the exact verbiage that he used. It's kind of my takeaway. It was, it's nice to have an offensive coordinator that will listen to you.
Wow.
And I just wonder how I never thought that Arthur Smith lost a team, because I didn't feel like until the last week or two of the season the team ever looked like they were in every game until those 2 points, and it looked
never looked like they tapped out.
Yeah. But now I'm wondering who they were actually, you know, they were playing for maybe each other, which you have to, but they might not have been playing for the head coach.
I just think it was a coach-led team, and this is a player-led team. Yeah, to your point, like, players feel like they're part of the conversation. I feel like in just the short amount of time we've already spent with them in this camp and since reporting, the guys are really being themselves. I feel like I'm actually seeing Kyle Pitt's personality, Bijan's personality, all these guys are kind of more being themselves, if that makes sense.
I completely agree with you, and I'll go one step further. I think they're kind of taking on the personality of their coach. You know, Raheem is just so personable. When you hear the interview of him sitting down with Andy Rannan, and you hear him at the podium, and he's using all these words like "we're star searching," "we're doing this." That's kind of what a lot of them sound like, right? And Arthur Smith, I loved Arthur Smith as a person, as a dude, loved talking to him. But when he got to the podium, I don't know that he had that feel. And it just feels like the players are kind of stepping out and being a little bit more like Raheem. Now, granted, again, we're one day in.
Yeah.
We are one day in, so you got to kind of buckle up and go along for the ride. But I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing.
Well, he was tense and guarded at the podium, and maybe that's the way the team played, and maybe that's the personality the team gave you when they were around all of us. Ra is, you know, loose.
Yeah.
He's loose and confident.
Yeah. And I think that having Kirk on the offensive side of the ball, you now have a true leader on that side of the ball. I feel like they didn't really have that person last year.
Well, when your quarterback is not your leader, that makes a lot of things difficult. All right. And now that he is, it takes one of the steps out. Look, speaking of leaders, we caught up with Jake Matthews yesterday. Bo and I did. After practice, he gave us a one-word answer. He said, "No." Emphatically. You don't want to miss what the question was. We'll hear that on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Every team, every year, in this time of the year, you know, you're very excited, you're very optimistic about the season.
Now, back live to Flowery Branch for Falcons Training Camp.
With the Morning Shift.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That, I don't know what that was, quite honestly. You're going to have to ask them. I didn't have anything on, and we normally don't bunt in that situation, but I was trying to score a run. And, you know, we had two pretty good hitters coming up, I thought, and that's unacceptable.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Snickers had it. He's done.
Oh.
He's done. Look, awful, awful, awful loss last night. You can't waste. Chris Sale starts. Pierce Johnson, God bless you. I mean, you want to talk about just a loss that was not on you, buddy. The Braves just... Oh, man, that was a gut-wrenching performance last night.
Well, where do you want me to start?
We're laughing to keep from crying, I
know.
I think, here.
And hopefully they are in the locker room, too, but golly.
You know, Snitker I usually laugh at because he's like, you know, grunting, or he goes, yeah, you know, you got to hit it hard. You know, it's sometimes when it's hard, you want to hit it. I mean, I don't know. Like,
bounce our way.
He just says goofy stuff, like, right? And he doesn't mean to. He's so nonchalant. And gee golly. When he was like, I don't know what they were doing. You got to ask them. That is basically our players blanked all of that up as you'll ever get. And they went off script as you'll ever get from a Brian Snitker.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you when the players hear that, they are going to receive that message. Now, You could also send another message. Everyone knows I am not fire the coach. I am not cut the player. But if I was a GM today of the Atlanta Braves, I would be on the phone or in the office of the
Your
manager.
Your finger would be on the button.
And I would say, Laureano is out of here. He's gone. We have to send a message. And I'm not that kind of guy. I don't like calling people's jobs. It's not. I just don't think it's something that a lot of guys in our job should do. However, you can talk about everything else, and no one play loses a game. He cost you the game twice.
Yeah, twice. And look, I'm with you. I don't like calling for jobs. I don't believe they will do that. But, Kelly, you watched the tape with me this morning and watched that final play. Me and you were both like, oh, my God.
Well, there's been a couple moments in the last couple games that you just had to see to believe.
Seriously.
Like the run the
this
other
season.
Day that scored. You were like, what? That really what? Happened? Especially for a team that has been – you know, the last couple of years, so solid defensively, obviously offensively. I mean, just all of the areas, they've checked all these boxes, and then it just seems like they've gotten so careless lately. And I don't know what needs to happen to shake up. Like, to your point, Bo, do you need to send a message cutting someone? What do you do to get this team figuring out what they need to do?
Yeah. The vibe is not good in the Atlanta Braves locker room. We are live from Flowery Branch. It is Mike and Bo and Kelly hanging out with you. But Kelly, you were talking about it earlier. The vibe in Flowery Branch right now for the Falcons is pretty good.
Yes, the vibes here are very different than the ones in Cobb County or New York, I guess, right now for the Braves. You know, something that stuck with me yesterday talking to players on the first day of training camp, talking to Bijan Robinson, he said something that maybe I'm reading between the lines a little bit. He said, we're actually having fun right now. And we were talking about positivity and how from the top down with this new coaching staff and the new leaders on this team, that it's really brought this new energy. I've heard every single player I've talked to use the word energy so far in this training camp. And I know Raheem Morris was asked yesterday, what's the mantra of training camp? And for Falcons fans who may be scarred by brotherhood and many sayings from the DQ era, Raheem said, I don't want to make some statement or some cliche. It needs to be built from within. The players need to come up with that, and it's going to be determined throughout training camp. And you see that with this player-led leadership. Kirk, Jesse, Grady, guys we were kind of talking about earlier, those guys are kind of taking the charge with this team, and that's, like we were talking about with Raheem, that's what he wants to see with this team.
It's really funny that Raheem said that the way he said it, because he clearly understood where there was fallout in the previous administration that he was a part of here. As in,
that's a great point. You know, he's been here and seen it.
Yeah.
He's seen it happen.
The
and
brotherhood.
I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, this is what? Why are you laughing?
I'm just laughing at brotherhood comment. Yeah.
I was jealous of those brotherhood jackets in 2016. We're getting
slick,
off the team
man.
Plane.
I'm all about it.
Sorry
to
bring the PTSD up for Falcons fans.
Where's my brotherhood vest
right.
at?
You know? The ethos. But, you know, the ethos.
Oh, yeah. Don't get
yeah,
me
now we got
that.
Ethos, right.
But the funny thing is that he it's a guy that has learned everywhere he's been. And if you listen to the words he's telling you, I've learned from it in these little statements. The other thing, and when you mentioned Bijan Robinson, Bijan apparently had a lot to say yesterday because he also made a statement about talking with Zach Robinson and, like, you know, his usage. And he was like, yeah, me and Zach have sat down. We've looked over and designed some plays together. And he made this statement, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if this is the exact verbiage that he used. It's kind of my takeaway. It was, it's nice to have an offensive coordinator that will listen to you.
Wow.
And I just wonder how I never thought that Arthur Smith lost the team, because I didn't feel like until the last week or two of the season the team ever looked like they were in every game until those 2 points, and it looked
never looked like they tapped out.
Yeah. But now I'm wondering who they were actually, you know, they were playing for maybe each other, which you have to, but they might not have been playing for the head coach.
I just think it was a coach-led team, and this is a player-led team. Yeah, to your point, like, players feel like they're part of the conversation. I feel like in just the short amount of time we've already spent with them in this camp and since reporting, the guys are really being themselves. I feel like I'm actually seeing Kyle Pitt's personality, Bijan's personality, all these guys are kind of more being themselves, if that makes sense.
I completely agree with you, and I'll go one step further. I think they're kind of taking on the personality of their coach. You know, Raheem is just so personable. When you hear the interview of him sitting down with Andy Rannan, you hear him at the podium, and he's using all these words like, we're star-searching, we're doing this. That's kind of what a lot of them sound like, right? And Arthur Smith, I loved Arthur Smith as a person, as a dude. Loved talking to him. But when he got to the podium, I don't know that he had that feel. And it just feels like the players are kind of stepping out and being a little bit more like Raheem. Now, granted, again, we're one day in. Right? Yeah. We are one day in, so you got to kind of buckle up and go along for the ride. But I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing.
Well, he was tense and guarded at the podium, and maybe that's the way the team played, and maybe that's the personality the team gave you when they were around all of us. Ra is, you know, loose.
Yeah.
He's loose and confident.
Yeah. And I think that having Kirk on the offensive side of the ball, you now have a true leader on that side of the ball. I feel like they didn't really have that person last year.
Well, when your quarterback is not your leader, that makes a lot of things difficult. All right. And now that he is, it takes one of the steps out. Look, speaking of leaders, we caught up with Jake Matthews yesterday. Bo and I did. After practice, he gave us a one-word answer. He said, no, emphatically. You don't want to miss what the question was. We'll hear that on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.